Just the Arenado thing, I want to come back to that because I'm seeing it more like you see this guy do this crazy thing, you know, this move, and you're like, well, that's just a... And then you're like, no, he practiced that situation that doesn't look like it's normal, like anybody would ever anticipate being in that situation. No, he practiced it 1,000 times in the last month. So, and Arenado, he does that.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closets by Design of St. Louis. This is part two of our special holiday edition of the best podcast in baseball, recorded at Sunday Best in the Central West End with guest comedian Greg Warren and St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist Ben Fredrickson. We pick back up our conversation asking Greg Warren whether or not more baseball has replaced the lack of NFL, his walking away from the NFL, and if all that time has just been replaced by more talking, more thinking, more watching about baseball, or if there's something else. And you already know that there's something else. Of course, it's college wrestling and Mizzou wrestling, to be specific, which prompts a question for Ben Fredrickson about what Cardinal would be the best wrestler. No NFL. So did baseball fill the vacuum of the NFL? Did that grow?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I am equally college wrestling as I am Major League Baseball, and they.
A lot of people really have those two.
I know a couple guys in St. Louis that my buddies that I wrestled with. Okay. Greg Martin is the same guy. But the thing is, the
Venn diagram of college wrestling and baseball is Missouri and Iowa.
But Iowa doesn't have, you know.
Yeah, and they're blacked out from 16.
They can't watch it on TV. They can't watch the game, which is so stupid. But the, there's some Cubs fans up there. But, baseball season ends, you know, like a week before college wrestling starts.
Oh, so good. It works out perfect.
And then
college wrestling ends right as the baseball season begins.
Ends the week after St. Patrick's Day every year. I head down to spring training right over that.
Okay, which Cardinal would make the best wrestler?
Well, Steve Klein was a pretty good...
Current Cardinal. I just am curious.
Oh, no.
I don't want to... There's an off-podcast game.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to mention it on the podcast.
Thank you, Ben.
I'm just curious, which Cardinal currently, who will be in uniform at spring training, do you think would make the best? Not WWE wrestler. We're talking the real wrestling.
Yeah, man.
You know, for the listeners who aren't as familiar, this is legitimate wrestling. Like Olympic / folk style.
Well, first tell us the traits of a good wrestler.
Like, that's the thing, man. It's tricky. I would have probably been better if I'd have been able to answer this question quicker. It's why people be like, explain your comedy. And I'm like, well, that's why certain people are like, well, yeah, we don't need this
guy. What makes a good wrestler.
Strength is not much.
But they're also like oblivious to pain. They're a tick crazy.
There's a mental angle.
Willing to go through pain that other people maybe won't.
Sure. But I think... Man, if you've got a good gas tank, that is a huge, huge advantage.
Like stamina,
If you got a good gas tank, I think intelligence is
sure.
But I'm trying to think who's got the best gas tank.
Paul Goldschmidt would be a good wrestler.
Yes.
And that's like not a cop out, like best player, best wrestler. I think would make him a solid, like.
What about Tommy Edman, though? Wrestling.
Yeah, lightweight. I mean, lower weights.
Yeah. I think Arenado, just because some of the ways he's able to contort his body.
Balance.
And balance is a huge one. Yeah.
Flexibility. He also, like fast twitch, right?
Yeah. There's both, like Ben Askren for Missouri, who is a big, Missouri's best wrestler ever, and an MMA, he was a slow twitch guy, but he had a gas tank
and crazy
balance, and he was extremely innovative.
Yeah.
That's why, like, he does. Arenado is innovative,
good comparison. I like that.
He finds
new ways to do things.
Yes,
he improvises
in real time.
But he improvises, but it's with this mountain of work underneath it.
Yeah, like he also has a really good spatial awareness. Like I liken him, and I've done this in print, but you get your. I think of him as like a goal scorer in soccer. He knows the space and timing.
Yeah,
and like he's got a great read for where the ball is going to be and how to intercept it. Not and he doesn't not go and find himself. It.
Yeah,
when he's necessarily
not go and find it.
That's a big thing in wrestling. You don't do things you don't have to do. Because you reserve your energy for the things you need to do.
So Yadier Molina would be a tremendous wrestler.
Oh, he would be, just the mental toughness.
He'd be like the defensive guy. He's like, shoot on me. Go ahead. And as soon as you shoot, he's like, oh, exactly where I want you. Now you're in trouble.
Yeah, and I'm seeing it more.
Flexibility,
like,
too.
Just the Arenado thing, I want to come back to that. Because I'm seeing it more like, you see this guy do this, like Ben Askren at Missouri. You see this guy do this crazy thing. You know, this move, and you're like, well, that's just a... And then you're like, no, he practiced that situation that doesn't look like it's normal, like anybody would ever anticipate being in that situation. No, he practiced it 1,000 times in the last month. So, and Arenado, he does that, right? He puts himself in weird positions, and that's the other reason.
He always would practice bouncing off the base for throw. I watched him, you know, when he was with Colorado, and he would practice that running jump throw like a shortstop does from foul territory.
Yeah.
And Alex Rodriguez was like, you practice
this?
What are you doing?
That's the other reason why it's sitting on the third base dugout dugout is you see
A-Rod, probably not a good wrestler. Probably not a lot of good qualities for A-Rod to be a good wrestler.
He's a superior athlete, but
he'd definitely get pinned. He'd get pinned.
You think so?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Against Arenado? 100%.
Well, yeah. Against Arenado.
Yeah. I don't know. Different weight class there, though.
Yeah. I think I could pin A-Rod.
You think you could?
I think I could now, yeah.
Well, I mean, you probably, because you did wrestle in high school. Yeah. So it is a weird thing where, like, you see this guy that's like this, like, hulking guy, and you're like, that guy never wrestled. He's not going to do well. Like, yeah. My friend who was. I went to the military academy my first year of college. I went to West Point my first year.
Yeah,
And my buddy, Matt Martin, he played football for Army, and he was always like, "I want to wrestle you, man. I want to wrestle you." And I was like, "Well, have you wrestled?" He's like, "No." And he was a really good football. He was a running back for Army. And one day we went up in the room, and he almost got in my head. I'm like, at that time, I was a couple times state champion in high school. I was a college wrestler,
really good wrestler,
and I was like. In my head, I was like, "Oh, maybe this guy knows something." Then, of course, because he was a really good athlete, and then like I killed him, and I was, and he was like, "Ah, man!" I'm like, "Yeah, man, I wrestle. You don't wrestle."
That's like it's people talk about swimming, and definitely like, they'll be like, "Oh, I totally like I swam in high school."
Did
like,
you?
I did that baseball some, but and they're like, "Oh, well, I totally beat you. You don't look like much of an athlete. I totally beat you at swimming." I'm like, "Hey, can you do a flip turn?" No, I don't know that. No, sorry, man. It's technique, right?
Yes, technique is such a huge part of it.
Yeah, and, I mean, the same thing in baseball. Technique is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
You know? It's interesting, like you bring it up. Like, so all these guys are chasing that exit velocity, right? Or like they want the high speed of the bat to produce this, like the launch, right?
Right.
And, but there are some guys that, that like just can't swing the bat. That fast, and like Nolan Arenado is not going to swing the bat as fast as Lars Nootbaar. Lars Nootbaar just does that like innately. He has that gift. But Arenado, in a lot of ways, is the better hitter.
Yes.
Certainly has had the better career.
Sure.
But that's because his bat to ball skills are so great. So there's like a technique aspect that he has naturally developed. Because he's not going to hit the ball as thunderously hard as some of these guys, but he's also not going to miss.
Right.
He's going to hit that ball consistently.
Who was the guy that had the crazy exit velocity that went to Toronto? And pretty good.
Josh Donaldson?
No, the Cardinal guy that went.
Randall Grichuk.
Grichuk, yeah. Grichuk didn't have like insane.
Yeah.
Bat speed was. He had a good career.
His exit velocity was great. Yeah. I love that. That was one of the. Early on in that exit velocity thing where the Cardinals had the data on Paul DeYoung coming out of Illinois State and they went and got Randall Grichuk in part because he played at some of their stadiums and they had their data on exit velocity and it was like, all right, these guys hit the ball hard. Now, can you get it's where they hit the ball often.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that was the thing. Randall Grichuk, man, we talk about like unspooling or rethinking thing. Cardinals probably ought to revisit that trade. Like there are a lot. I wonder how different that outfield production would be if they were like, you know, Randall Grichuk's our center fielder and we're figuring it out from there. We'll take the swings and misses. We'll take the 30 homers and we'll find the stuff elsewhere. They've been on such a quest for outfield production.
It's a churn, man.
Really, since he left.
And it continues.
And that was like a, you know, they acquire Marcell Ozuna and they trade Stephen Piscotty. And then they voluntarily trade Randall Grichuk. There was room for Marcell Ozuna and Randall Grichuk to both be in the outfield. They just, it didn't. You know, they chose not to. And I think that's a fascinating, like, when you, like, think about this era, you know, you go back to that and go, what would, if they had just stuck with him,
He was in that group of guys who got some sample size early in, like, frustration because it didn't happen sooner. And then, so it's like, okay, we got to turn the page. And then
he was also coming up at the time
and
of
then he turns into a guy, you look at his numbers now, and you're like, well, that's better than what they've had.
Right. But he also was, like, during that spring of discontent where – you know, things were just coming apart for them, and eventually they fired the manager. So he was kind of locked in that era of the Cardinals, too. I don't know. So the
Randall Grichuk would have been a pretty good wrestler.
You
think so?
I think so.
Now that you say Yachty, man, I'm like, yeah, there's your guy, man. I still think Arenado's the guy, man.
That's a good – that's because that wouldn't be a popular pick, but you explained it really well.
Yeah, it's interesting. So then did you enjoy – going to games, what's it like going to games when they're a losing team but you got green seat tickets?
Well,
like, how did your game going experience, was it?
Well, no, that now I had green seat 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. 2 years ago.
And then it was, and
they were winning.
Yeah, we were winning, and we were, and it was that Mets game. It was that Mets game, and Michaelis pitched unbelievable.
That's right. That's right.
And you know, and Scherzer's a Missouri guy. It was pretty awesome. So. But I mean, this past year, it was. I told you I had to do all those gags, man.
I had to do.
The,
I thought you do those all the time.
I do, but I mean,
it's
a centerpiece. It's a. Okay. It's more of like, I mean, I got to do them. I mean,
why you're going?
You're value added. You're the value added to the ticket.
Yeah. It's just a side thing, and when we're winning, it's like this is. Yeah.
Oh, you felt the pressure.
Yes, like, man. Like, I had to perform. I had moves. I had my buddy Sean. He's like, hey, you're getting ready, man. It's coming up.
Wow.
Yeah, hat game's coming up.
So do you feel like some pressure this offseason if they don't get a better team?
He's got the family group thread. He's being held to account.
Those guys. I try not to talk to him about it anymore. I love them, but we can't even discuss it anymore. And then, I mean, that first 3 weeks of the season scares me. It really does. Because take away the first month last year, we're maybe making different moves in August, right?
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, the schedule. I mean, the Cardinals last year had two brutal stretches. You could look at their schedule and you could predict, this is probably going to go sideways for them, especially because they didn't have the pitching. We talked about it in spring, and I even talked about it with some folks with the Cardinals, and it's like you got two real problematic areas. One is the Huey Lewis road trip, as I called it. Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., right? It was the heart of rock and roll road trip. And then London, where they went, obviously, over to London. But then they come back, and it was Astros-Yankees away.
Oh, yeah.
And so you knew that West Coast is just brutal. And then there was the added element of it being a three-city and three good teams, or you expect to be good teams. And then the other one was, you knew London was just going to be a meat grinder for the pitching, either because of how the ballpark was going to play or the travel or both. The fact that they went New York, Washington, UK, you know, it just was going to be, they were going to be vulnerable pitching wise when they came back against two really good teams. Schedule, the hot spot is right from the start.
Right at the beginning?
Right at the beginning.
Did you guys? I'm trying to think because I, you know, I listen to you guys all the time, and I, you know, read the stuff, and I. Did you? I know you guys were saying you couldn't count on the pitching staff. I heard that loud and clear, especially from Ben. Did you see the Waino thing going like that? Because he kind of, the year before he ran out of gas in September.
I didn't think he would be that bad. I didn't.
He's my favorite Cardinal, by the way, probably in history. He's my favorite.
I think
really.
Some of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. Probably because when I was a kid, I was it was the '80s and those teams were fun. But I think I was. I don't remember being. I had other stuff going on. Now I have nothing in my life. No, I'm on the road. I'm on the road 200 days a year, I'm looking like I'm following everything. So when I really got into the Cardinals, and I mean to another level, is his career. Two, he did come to a show one time and said he liked it.
Nice.
That's good.
Yeah, and like I just love that thing where there's a decency about him. Well, let me go back. I love that thing when those days when he was like he didn't have his best stuff, obviously, and he still found a way to give you six. He grinded out six or seven good innings. They gave up. You first inning, you're like, oh, this is going to be horrible. And then it's the seventh inning, and he gave up four or three, and you win the game. Like I love that about him. There's a decency about him that it's one of those things that you remember that you didn't really happen, but I hate it when I hate the whole thing when the pitcher hits the guy and he's got to stare him down, and then I think one time Wainwright's like, I'm sorry, man, if more of that, why can't you just say, man, I'm sorry, man, I didn't mean to hit you in the head, but no, you got to stare him down, and then you got to get upset when because he celebrates and all that stuff.
The guys don't get mad at the end when Adam hit him because he was only throwing 89.
this is more 94 Waino. This is like a 94 95 Waino.
It's stung.
And then the other thing is
the elbow. It hurts.
That curveball is just so pretty, man. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful thing.
What a way for him to finish. Like we were talking about like the best stories of the year, right? Every newspaper, every media outlet does the top stories of the year. And our news side was putting together, the top stories in St. Louis. And I replied to the email. I said, well, really, there's two on my beat. One is the last place finish, 91 losses. First time in more than a generation, in 30-plus years, that they've been that bad and that low in the standings. That's news around here. And I said, and the other one is the 200th win.
Yeah.
Like what poetry it was for him on a day when they told to come up with a plan B, couldn't lift his shoulder, was having a real hard time with it, and didn't have anything on his pitches. And then he just, in the moment, found a way. And not just found a way, but found a way to defy and mix and vex and confuse and riddle and make his way through the division champs lineup to then close on a curveball.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good moment from this year.
Yeah, I didn't see it going as poorly as it did. I didn't think it would be electric performance. I just thought he'd find a way to be consistent. And he clearly wasn't, but the way he finished was it's like he pulled one last card out and said, now I'm done.
So Molino hitting that home run in the playoffs.
There's something to be said about Adam, Yachty, Pujols all delivered in their last opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
And it speaks to a lot of where this team is, where those guys are gone.
That's
who else is going to be that guy.
Right.
And for a lot of time around here, it was always just assumed that having them meant there would be more. And I think their team is facing a realization that that's not guaranteed. And the fact that now they're entering a new season off of a historic, for them, low of saying a lot of the guys that they are bringing in to be those guys are guys who either are coming back, like Lance, who they thought they'd be okay without, were wrong, or guys that have never been a part of this but have watched this team from afar and go, I want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there aren't those guys immediately here from within, and where they've churned the roster in the middle of guys who have had time and opportunity to earn it and didn't, it says something about where they are right now.
Do you think that's a good – I'm really intrigued by this, Greg. Like, do you think that
they've had 2 years where a prominent part of the season was nostalgia, right? And it worked out with Albert. Albert had a fantastic second half, got them to the playoffs. He was amazing.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of that was nostalgia. This past year, Wainwright, nostalgia. Now they have a year. This is the first year without that group, and they then bring back. Like, do you think they, for Greg first, but also for both of you, do you think they missed an opportunity of saying, no, we're new, and they're instead just going to play the hits again?
Well, I don't know if anybody's all that nostalgic about the Lance Lynn years.
No, but Yadier's coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, I see what you mean.
Descalso.
Descalso's coming back.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't he a big part of that when we came back against the Nationals?
Huge. Yeah, home run and the key hit.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. But no, I mean, and also I think there's those 2 years are very different because the I was in the ballpark a lot during the Pujols Molina, and we were competitive. We were good. We were a playoff team.
Division champs.
The Philly thing was brutal. I was there for the last game, but the game that we blew up in the bullpen was terrible. But
all because of a jam finger in Pittsburgh in a game that didn't
it was Helsley, right? Yeah. And then the thing last year. I mean, I'm a big Waino fan, but we weren't competitive, so it wasn't that fun.
Yeah.
You know, I wish it was better for Waino, but like I said, he's my favorite player. But I don't think. These guys are smart. I feel like Lynn was the right guy to get there for the innings. I think, you know, now whether you need more, great. He does seem to have that sort of – it's going to be fun also hearing you guys interview him. he's great to hear. And then Molina, Descalzo, fine. They're coaches. I think it'll be great, but I don't think it interferes too much. I don't think it interferes.
I mean, isn't there an argument to be made to like be new, like try something? But I guess you can't. I mean, I guess that would take more moves. That would mean a new front office, a new direct. But like
these guys are good. You would think they're very good at what they do. They didn't bring in Yachty to sell tickets, did they?
No.
I mean, Descalzo certainly not, and he's got to be a good baseball guy.
Yeah, he is. I mean, but they're name recognition.
Yes.
And it is more of the same. It's more of – now.
It's not more of the same, though. Not what they've been lately. They haven't been lately what Daniel Descalzo knew when he was a Cardinal.
Okay.
They haven't been lately what Lance Lynn knew when he was a Cardinal.
Okay.
They've been searching for that. So, and it doesn't mean they guaranteed when they get it back. Like, I think there's something to be said of Lance being the guy that they thought, we're okay without him. He goes out and has become a top 20. Last year he stunk. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Before that, between the time he left and between the start of last season, he was one of the top 20 pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals just thought, well, he doesn't maybe necessarily he's not as clean cut as we like. We're okay without him. We got other guys who are coming up. Like, we'll just let him walk. They were wrong. And this admits it. I mean, the fact that Lance had as bad of a year as he did last year, and they still think they can get better out of him because of what he did when he wasn't a Cardinal. And also, Lance is not, hey, let's run out the nostalgia. Let's go talk about how great we are. Lance is like, I will blow that up and talk about how, you know, we stink and this and I stink he'll call it out, he'll say he's the needle to the balloon
I didn't come here to sign yearbooks,
right?
Yeah, I came here to win.
That's what they need, and that if that's what they were before, then good, like get back to that.
And Gray is like
Sonny Gray is like that.
He's so real.
I think there's
and he's found himself as I mean I think Ben put it so well, but he's at a point in his career where he knows himself so well and what he wants to be and what he needs to get out of it. You know, there are guys, I mean, he spent his 20s coming back from injury, moving around, started with Oakland, went to the Yankees, Cincinnati, you know. Took him a while to find out who he was. He was told who he was as a pitcher so many times that he tried to do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now he knows. Like, now he knows who he is as a pitcher. And one of the things the pitchers talk about is, like, once you do that, then you kind of have a really good feel for who you are as a leader.
I think that they.
And we saw that with some of the young pitchers, right? Yeah. They didn't quite know who they were as a pitcher, so it was really difficult for them to know who they were as a leader.
That Gray, I so the The guy that produced my last special is this guy, Nate Bargatze, who's having a... He's
Saturday Night Live.
Yes, he did great on SNL. He was supposed to be in St. Louis that week at the Fox.
Really?
I was going to open for him. But he was on SNL, and he's killing it. I'm opening for him in on New Year's in, like, where the Miami team plays hockey, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, but he's a big Vandy fan. He's a Nashville, and he knows Sonny. And I guess somebody was asking him, he was telling me, like, they were like, he was like, yeah, man, he knows all those Vandy pitchers, you know, those guys. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And he's like.
They all had a party here recently.
He goes, yeah, they want to get me in the, they want to get me in the batting. Nate doesn't play. He's a golfer, but he doesn't play baseball. He's like, they want me to take pitches. You want to stand in and hit against these guys. He's like, I don't know. And somebody's like, nah. One of them was like, you should do it, man. You should do it. It's fun. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They're not gonna like try to hit you. They're not gonna. They go, well, who is it? He goes, it's Sonny. They go, maybe don't. He goes, it's Sonny. He goes, maybe don't go in the batting cage.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. He said he's pretty fireball, man. He's
got some edge to him.
Yeah.
Speaking of, it brings us all back to Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
I guess to put a point on my thing, like, they're always going to have guys who have been a part of this organization who want to be back. But I think, like, what you spoke to, like, the idea of, like, that's the focus. Like, all these guys are kind of in the background. Like, Lance is in the background of the rotation. The Scousels and Yachty are going to be coaching in the background. They're not front and center type guys. And if this group should find levity and opportunity and, like, go out and write your story, don't have your story be, can Adam Wainwright get to 200 wins? And also, what do the Cardinals do today? Mm. Like, that's their chance to go. And if it goes poorly, then there's no other distraction.
Yeah.
That's the downside of it.
Right.
I don't think that what they did pulls them away from that reality.
I just wonder if it
turns into a big coaching manager, you know, controversy because Yachty shows up and they sweep the A's. Then maybe I feel differently.
Yeah, that's the only thing I am wondering. Like, is that?
Yeah, that's a really fascinating part of it. I don't know how, you know, I asked Mozeliak about it, and he said if it becomes an issue, then you have to address it.
I mean, it becomes an issue when, like, he's the only special assistant to the president of baseball operations who got a congratulatory tweet from @MLB. Like, you know how many special assistants to the president of baseball operations there have been?
You think there's 25 anyone else got like what? You know what I've been doing for the last 2 days? You know how much work I put in?
Yeah.
Major League Baseball's Twitter account with you know, zillion, trillion, billion followers. Yeah. Like, congrats, Yachty! Yeah. Like, everyone else is like, wait, what?
There's some analyst in Cleveland. It's like, man, do you understand how good I am at this job?
So, all right. So, you guys, the last thing I want to ask you is this note. Like, we're at the holiday season, obviously, gift giving and everything like that. The Cardinals made a move that moved the needle for gift giving. Is that at all part of this? Like,
for Christmas?
I mean, like, is that at all part of this? Like, you talk about, like, the malaise that's set in or the reaction to some of this. Like, have they made a move that puts something under the Christmas tree? That have they done something that, you know, Otani's jersey broke a record, right, with the Dodgers. We could all see that coming. And all the teams benefit from that. It's all revenue shared with merch. But, like, if you got a young Cardinal fan in your life, this holiday season, what are you buying them? And isn't that
tickets to, like, Greg's show?
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that your size says it all.
I'm excited about the season. I don't know if that means a better, because Tampa's probably never had one of those gifts. You know, never.
Yeah.
And they're good every year. You know,
you can bet there were some Rosarena jerseys.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not be. That's why it doesn't always have to be sexy to be the right moves.
Right.
I do think Gray is a good move. I think it's a really good move. Is it enough? I don't know. And if they don't add some bullpen stuff, it's not, right?
Yeah,
it's,
Gray's, it's like the, Gray's like the – and I mean this in a complimentary way. I got this flannel shirt that my sister got me like years ago that I – it's like going on like 12 years. Like, it's my favorite piece of clothing. And like the other day the elbow finally ripped out and I was like legitimately sad. But at the moment when I opened it, I wasn't like, oh, my God, I'm going to wear this shirt for 12 years and it's awesome. Like, it could be – he could be a great addition, but people who are not thrilled about it are not going to know it until 4 years from now. Has there been, like, a sizzle move? No.
Well, it's not just, like, a sizzle move. It's a gift-giving move. It's like, all right.
It's like we stunk last year. We lost 90 zillion games. We were last place. This is going to show you that we're not
part of it is timing, though. Like, Nolan Arenado, that trade goes down February 1st.
That was a gift.
That trade goes down December 20th. Or December 15th, how many jerseys are underneath the tree?
It's the signed Bryce Harper argument.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But like, they did have signed Bryce Harper. But they don't, I mean, they can't script this stuff. But I mean, it's
they
like,
can.
Well, they can.
They script everything.
Yeah, they can. But, well, I understand what you're saying, but like, part of it is timing works against them. Part of them, they just don't do that. Right?
Right.
So do they need to, like, how do you invigorate this
into their moves that they stunk last year and people are like, Like Greg Tsai said it all. Greg's very optimistic. He likes the moves. But he's also like, when you're like, what makes you want to go buy your niece and nephew a Cardinals sweatshirt? You're like,
I probably am not buying, you know, for certain games yet or anything like that.
That's real. I mean, that's real. And it's not just the crazy people on Twitter who are like, sign – you know, Otani, or you don't care about baseball. Like normal.
But who was that?
It's normal fans who are like, I understand their model. I get it. I appreciate that the fact that they try to be good every year, but this just isn't enough. They're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. They're not showing enough that they're pissed that last year stunk so bad.
Would Hader be that guy?
And also that it's been a trend in this direction.
I don't know if Hader moves. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think he does.
No reliever does.
Right.
Because nobody. So short of, I mean, Yamamoto probably does. Otani, Yamamoto that was never going to happen.
That was not going to happen.
Yeah, so I mean,
Yamamoto maybe.
Of the other guys, because there wasn't. Is Blake Snell that guy?
I don't know. Nola?
Blake Snell would be that guy. I don't even love the idea of signing Blake Snell, but that would be like, oh, that wasn't
I'm not
expected.
So sure Gray's worse than Blake Snell next year.
No, I'm with you. I like Blake. I like Gray more than Blake Snell.
So
but I'm saying, like, in terms of, like, you asked about, like, a – what makes people line up in the ticket queue to buy season tickets? Snell would do that.
Yeah.
And not Snell and Gray. Like that.
Yes.
But it's also
that over the top. Like,
they just didn't have a season where, like, okay, like the season goes differently. There are a lot of win jerseys underneath. The season goes way differently. There's Walker. So many Walker jerseys. Right.
And there could be next Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like this year there's probably a lot of Bob Gibson jerseys.
Yeah.
Right?
Not an MLB Network.
There's a lot of nostalgia. Yeah. You know, not. Yeah.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah. So, I find that such a fascinating place for a team to be.
What do you think the jerseys are? It's probably Newt Barr.
Newt Barr?
Yeah.
Newt Barr?
Gorman, I mean, that was.
He had a great year. But
he did have a great year.
Is it not? Like, is it? I mean, you know, he wasn't around toward the end. That was part of, like, their offensive struggles and everything like that. You know, Brendan Donovan, man, he's primed to be a superstar.
Yes.
You know, or at least, like, the classic kind of figure that Cardinal fans love. I mean, he's that guy. But it just didn't kind of manifest. None of this stuff manifests either because of injuries kept him absent or 91 losses or the production. You know, it's just, there wasn't, like, that – there's not that centerpiece that people are like, oh, man, this is our guy. And they didn't add it. It's a weird spot for a team to be.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's what Mo...
I mean, Goldschmidt, you know, that should be. Arenado should be. But are they?
Yeah. It's what Mo said. Like, Mo said it at one of the press conferences, I think before they signed Gray, is like, talked about, you know, wanting people to judge on the games that are played and the record as it goes. And it's a valid point, but it's also the opposite of what you just described of that. And I'm not saying they have to do that or that they should, but like, if you're talking about trying to not get people to regress from their interest in the team in terms of spending money on it, they haven't had one of those.
All right. What is your what are your Christmas, the baby's first Christmas? You got first Christmas as a father, Ben. What, speaking of gifts, what do you got?
What have I gotten her?
No. Like, what do you plan? This is exciting.
Well, I've gotten her clothes because she's growing rapidly. And she doesn't really, you know what's going on. So I'm kind of really playing it cheap this Christmas.
Be a lot of great photos.
Yeah, tons of photos. We're going to introduce her to family. I need to ask your opinion on this. Like, when is, like, when do they start remembering what they get at Christmas?
Oh, because
that's definitely
going to
factor
years.
Into
another
my gift giving. Like, I feel like I got like 3 years of like kind of just like you know.
But you can start building.
Being pretty lame.
Yeah,
I'll start my woodworking now to have the rocking horse ready by age.
Yeah, four, five. Okay. Yeah, you know, you start getting into like preschool and school.
Yeah,
you know, that's when it starts like hitting like. Like, what was the first gift you remember?
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, 4, 5, 6.
Like the Millennium Falcon?
I mean, I'm pretty dense, so probably like 8.
That's not true. I
You have nieces and nephews.
Yes. Yeah. One niece who doesn't care at all about baseball.
Okay. What's the gift, like, age where they start remembering what you get them? Because I'm trying to kind of play it cheap on the newborn's first Christmas, you know?
I think you're okay on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah. So like 3 or 4 or 5.
4.
Yeah, I think.
16.
You know what? I will say this. She'll definitely remember if you wait till 16.
16, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
That's going to be good. She'll definitely remember.
What a chiseler.
I think when she turns 5, I'll just get her a bunch of gifts and be like, that's what I got you when you were 1.
Yeah.
That's what I got you
when you were 2.
I'm thinking it out.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I think the problem with like between 1 and 4, whatever you get, there's going to be like wrapping paper or a box that's more fun than what you the little pop things, you know.
I got you this box.
Yeah.
She has everything. She has so many things already. It's incredible what these things that these little babies amass. And I love, she's awesome. She's great. But she has so much stuff already. I'm like, this is
it just gets more.
It's not that expensive though, like the toys. I mean,
it just gets more.
I got 2 nephews and I'm like, I got a volume of stuff this year.
You do feel like with kids, you feel like you're really like splurging on them, you know?
Yeah.
Like you spend $50 and you like bring the house down.
Yeah,
until they get into the video games. My nephew likes the video games.
Yeah.
That's a monopoly.
My son's into the movie posters. That I think it's kind of
pretty. Oh, cool.
Pretty penny.
Yeah.
What's the, which ones do you like?
So he likes, his favorite movie is Stand By Me. So he got that a few years ago. Logan, the teaser, where it's just a close-up of Wolverine's hand, little girl. He has Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
He got as a gift the Iron Man one because it came out on his 2nd birthday. So it's got just the date and the Iron Man.
That's cool.
Creed 2, the Aliens teaser one, where it just has the like silhouette of the alien, and it says run at the bottom. He likes that one. This year, he's not going to listen to this, but we did this thing called movie tourism. Well, he said, so he started making lists of movies and places he could watch them because they were filmed there or they were set to take place there. So he called it movie tourism. And so like Chicago, he watched the Blues Brothers.
Sure. Right. Cool. Oh, he watched the Blues Brothers?
In Chicago.
He'll watch old stuff.
Oh yeah, no, it's his favorite stuff.
Is he and he likes comedies?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna lobby hard for 2 films here.
Okay.
Midnight Run.
Okay.
Great
movie.
And movie, it's called Tin Men. It's with Danny DeVito and Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, watch. Okay.
It's Barry Levinson directed it. It's one of my favorite comedies ever. It's a really, really good movie.
All right.
And it's a sleeper. Sleeper.
I'm going to do it. We, several years ago, we went to Wyoming. We went on the Great American Road Trip and saw the monuments out there and Badlands and everything. But we went to Wyoming, former home of Ben Fredrickson, and went to Devil's Tower. And at the KOA campground there at Devil's Tower, they play Closing Clowners. And you watch Closing Counters in the shadow of Devil's Tower, so I got him the movie poster with Devil's.
That's a great movie poster.
It's a great movie poster. He's at home tonight working on a 5-minute speech that he has to give at Boy Scouts for a Boy Scout requirement, and his 5-minute speech is Bartolo Colon's Hall of Fame candidacy. I think he has a specific audience in mind.
Bartolo Colon is the kind of guy. You bring Bartolo Colon in, I'm buying a Bartolo Colon Cardinals jersey. That's going to move some merchandise. You bring in Bartolo.
What did he win about? How many games did he win?
Oh, boy. Pitched forever. Did he get to 200? He got close.
Definitely.
Bartolo Colon. When I was looking up the Bob Gibson stats, a lot of Sonny Gray, a lot of Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, a lot of Bartolo Colon.
I see him on the Instagram every once in a while doing his exercise
for Dubai. Yeah.
He's doing his rubbers. I think he could. I think he could pitch for this team.
He throws strikes.
You think some of the guys in this rotation are old? You bring in Bartolo Colon, and they would look young.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. And that'd be a jerk. So, Greg, what do you have planned for the holidays? What do you have going on?
I don't have to travel for like 10 days.
Nice,
and which is great. So, I don't even know what I'm going to do, man. I got back yesterday, I think, or the day before, and I'm going to Missouri's wrestling Illinois in a couple of days. I'm going to go watch that in St. Louis at Stiefel Theater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch that, and I don't know, man. I need to write a little bit. Like, I need to get into more of a writing rhythm, which is it's sort of fun to go to the coffee shop and write in the morning.
I like that. I'm going to do that.
I usually bake Christmas cookies, and
that's what kind.
I either go. I'm a traditionalist, man.
Yeah.
It's the iced sugar cookie, like almost a shortbread cookie, or a chocolate chip cookie with Ghirardelli chips, man.
Oh.
And yeah.
Name drop.
I don't. Yeah, I do, man. Yeah, it's quality.
He's had some success.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I don't. I'm
cheering him on.
I go either go or I don't go. I don't like all these like niche.
That's that Vegas money.
Yeah. I don't like the niche.
Was it the second special where you upgraded the chocolate? Was it when you got the the sale when you got?
Well, some of this is Procter & Gamble money. Again. Some of this is Jif peanut butter money, man. Yeah.
And then you're coming back to town in April. You have a show at the Funny Bone in St. Charles.
Yeah, that's the next time I'll be in St. Louis doing a show. It's
awesome.
Kind of fun out there. Yeah.
And in the meantime, people can watch your YouTube special, The Salesman. It's there now. They can watch it. All as a build-up to April.
Yes. Yeah. All some new stuff by then.
That'd be great. We'll see you at the ballpark, I hope.
Yes, you will, man. Absolutely. I'll be down there. Maybe even spring training. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Let us know.
I got to look at the I got a trip to Florida in the spring, and I wonder if it's coincides.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Driving distance, we could come see a show.
Yeah, man.
The last time we saw you at spring training, ironically,
before COVID.
It was the same. Oh, that's right. And the Cardinals are playing the Mets.
Yeah.
And Max Scherzer was pitching for the Mets.
Yeah, man.
I was on my way to a root canal.
And I thought... Yeah.
Or just out of the root canal. That's what it was.
Who was... And I thought a junior bullpen guy. Junior...
Fernandez?
Junior Fernandez. I watched that game and I'm like, well, he's going to be...
Oh yeah! Didn't he light it? He lit it up.
He blazed.
I was like, "This is going to be our guy."
Yeah,
we're going away with this.
Oh my gosh, he buzzed through that. I remember that. Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. We're here at Sunday Best, which has this event coming up.
Yeah, Friday. If you're going to the Bragging Rights game, come down. You can get $2 Yingling pints, and you get to keep the glass.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
You're going to the other Bragging Rights game.
If you're watching home, go to Sunday Best Chicken.
It's Bragging Rights game.
Yes.
And yours is the Bragging Rights match.
What's the name of it? It's something at
the showcase at the Stiefel. I forget the official name of it, but it's going to be amazing. They're going to put the wrestling mats. And then they got the UFC production where they're going to have like, it's going to look like a UFC fight.
They're coming up the aisles.
Oh, nice.
They're coming up the aisles to the stage.
It's like a title fight.
Yeah, yeah. And UFC Fight Pass is broadcasting it.
Yes.
It's a whole big deal. Yeah, Mizzou against Illinois.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. And if you want to watch both of those and you're streaming or watching from home, you can go to Sunday Best Chicken and get chicken delivered to your house.
You can. Great. Thank you to Sunday Best for giving us a place to record this. Greg, thank you so much
for coming to see you guys.
That's Greg Warren. You can watch his special, The Salesman. It's there on YouTube. You can, of course, find all of Ben Fredrickson's writing and his Tuesday chat at stltoday.com. We got a special going now on subscriptions. You can get buy one. Get one as a gift, and it's 52 weeks for, I believe, 1976. So not too bad there, but it's the special deal going on. You can, of course, find all of the Constant Cardinals coverage there at stltoday.com and in the pages of the Post-Dispatch. The Best Podcast in Baseball is available there and wherever you get your podcasts. It's brought to you by the Closets by Design of St. Louis, and it's produced by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, stltoday.com, and me. For Greg Warren and for St. Louis Post-Dispatch Sports Comms, Ben Fredrickson, I'm baseball writer Derek Gould. Talk to you soon. Happy holidays.
It's fun, man. I love listening to you guys, man.